This lecture is going to look at outward processing relief, or OPR for short. It is another regime that a trader can use to try and save customs duty. Note that this procedure only gives relief from customs duty, it does not cover excise duty. Let's take the following example. You manufacture a chemical. This chemical is used to produce dishwasher tablets. In order to produce the finished product, the chemical needs to be combined with another chemical. This second chemical is not yet available in the EU, so you have to send your chemical overseas, to America, for the processing to occur. Once the processing has happened, the finished dishwasher product is then returned back to the UK. When you re-import the dishwasher tablets, a C88 will need to be completed and customs duty will be paid on the finished product. But hang on, surely some of the value of the finished product comes from the UK chemical. So, should we pay duty on, effectively, an EU product? Well, this is where OPR can help. It will afford some relief for the EU component contained within the finished dishwasher tablets. Before we go into the finer details of OPR, we will introduce the legislation. The relevant bits are contained within Article 145 onwards of the Code and Articles 496 to 523 and 585 to 592 of the implementing regs. In order to use OPR, you need to be authorised. If you have already listened to the IPR and warehousing lectures, you'll be familiar with some of this already. Authorizations are contained in Article 148 of the Code and will only be granted if the following conditions are satisfied. Firstly, the person must be established in the community. Secondly, it must be possible to establish that the exported goods are incorporated in the re-imported product. The economic conditions must be satisfied. You will have seen this phrase before. In this respect, it means use of the procedure will not seriously disadvantage the essential interests of community producers, or carrying out the process in the EU would be economically unviable or is not feasible for technical reasons or because of some contractual obligation. You can read all of this in Article 502, subsection 4 of the implementing regs. How do we satisfy the economic conditions? Article 585 of the implementing regs says that the essential interest of community producers shall be deemed not to be seriously harmed unless there are indications to the contrary. In authorizing someone to use OPR, customs will set a time limit within which the export, processing abroad, and reimportation must have occurred. They will also set a rate of yield. For instance, in the example on the screen, how many rabbit ears are used in the finished product? Normally this would be 2 ears per rabbit. This will then help in determining the duty relief that will apply. There are a variety of authorizations. They are the non-commercial authorization. This is used for exports of personal property. The simplified authorization, which is used for repairs only. The full UK authorization, used for any processes where the UK is the only member state from which you export your goods. The single authorization, used for any processes where you export goods from more than one member state. The specific authorization, where the exporter is not the person arranging for the processing to be carried out. And the integrated authorization, where the person wishes to be authorized for another customs procedure as well as OPR, for example, IPR. We'll look at the full UK authorization in a bit more detail. Application needs to be made on a form like the one in Annex 67. In the UK, this is a C&E 1153. Customs have 30 days to either reject or accept the application. It will take effect on the date of issue and it will apply for a maximum 3 years. Retrospective authorizations may be granted at customs discretion, but not going back further than 1 year. All of these conditions can be found in Articles 506 to 508 of the implementing regs. Let's look now at how duty relief is given. There are two ways of calculating relief, and the importer can choose whichever method is of most benefit to him. We'll continue with our previous example concerning the dishwasher tablets to illustrate them. The finished dishwasher tablets are re-imported, and the CIF value of the consignment is £8,000. The value of the UK chemical included in the product amounts to £3,500. In working out that £3,500, Article 590, subsection 2 of the implementing regs says that you ignore freight and insurance. To calculate the duty, Article 151 of the code says you work out the duty as normal on the imported product, so if we say the rate is 4%, the duty would amount to £320. You then deduct the duty that would have been due on the exported chemical as though it had been imported from the same country in which the processing took place. We will imagine that if we had imported our UK chemical from America, the duty rate on it would be 5%. So we will deduct £3,500 at 5%, i.e. £175. The final duty due on the imported dishwasher tablets is £145. We have managed to save ourselves £175. What would happen if the finished dishwasher tablets qualified for preference on re-import because they originate in a beneficiary country? In this case, if you claim the preferential rate, then you also have to use any preferential rate of duty available for your chemical as though it originated in the country where the processing takes place. This is provided for in Article 151, subsection 4 of the Code. The other way to calculate the duty relief is to look at the value added by the processing. Under the Commission's rewrite of the Code, it is intended that this method will be the only one available for calculating the relief. Currently, this method is used at the request of the importer under Article 591 of the Implementing Regulations. Using the same scenario with our dishwasher tablets, we saw that the finished product had a value of £8,000. We deduct from this value the value of the UK chemical, which is £3,500, and the number we are left with is the value added by the processing abroad, which is £4,500. We then calculate duty on the £4,500 by multiplying it by the rate that applies to the finished product, i.e. the 4%. The total duty due is £180. This method ignores the duty rate of the exported chemical, and in our example, has resulted in £35 more duty than we calculated under the first method. The reason for this is that the UK chemical had a higher duty rate than the finished product, so it was more beneficial to use the first method in our illustration. This method is also more beneficial if the exported chemical has a 0% duty rate. An importer should carry out both calculations and see which one gives him a lower duty bill. Customs will allow him to use the method that produces the lowest result. However, where the value added by the processing method is used, customs may deny it if the sole object of the release for free circulation of the temporary export goods had been to benefit from this relief. Take a look at the following example. You need to decide which calculation of duty relief would be most beneficial. The exported product is valued at £1,000, but this includes £100 for freight and insurance. The re-imported product is valued at £2,500, which includes freight and insurance of £300. The re-imported product incurs a duty rate of 6%, whereas the exported product has a duty rate of 4%. You need to calculate the final duty due on the imported product using the first method we looked at and insert the amount to the nearest pound. You then need to calculate the final duty due using the second method we looked at, the value added by the processing, and insert the amount to the nearest pound. Once you have inserted both numbers, press the Enter key to see if you were right. So, how did you do? Using the first method we looked at, you have to calculate the duty due on the re-imported product as normal. This gives us £2,500 times the duty rate of 6%, so at that point we owe customs £150. Remember to leave in the freight and insurance when working this out. From this figure we deduct the duty that would have been payable on the exported product had it been imported from the same place. So we take £900, remember we have to exclude freight and insurance on this product, and times it by the 4% duty rate. If we deduct the £36 from the £150, the final duty payable is £114. If we use the alternative method, we need to determine the amount of value that the processing has added. To do this, we take the re-imported product's value of £2,500 and deduct the £900 value of the exported product. This £1,600 is essentially the value that has been added by the processing abroad. We then multiply this by the rate of duty for the finished product, i.e. the 6%, and are left with a duty bill of £96. We can choose which method to use, so we'll pick the second method, which gives us £96. So, what other sorts of processing could be done under OPR? Imagine you import watches from Japan. You sell the watches to your customer in the UK, who finds that one of them does not work. The customer returns the faulty watch to you. You then send the watch back to the Japanese manufacturer. And because the watch is only a few months old, the supplier repairs it free of charge. It's still under guarantee, so he has a legal obligation to repair it. He sends the watch back to you after he's repaired it. Upon reimportation, the goods have to be declared to customs on the C88, but can be reimported free of customs duties. This is given in Article 152, subsection 1 of the Code. This makes sense, as in reality, it is only one watch that remained in the EU, and we'd already paid customs duties the first time it came in. But what if a Japanese supplier charges you for the repair, because it is a couple of years since the watch was originally imported? In this case, customs duty is going to be payable, and it is calculated by adding the repair costs to the freight and insurance, and multiplying the total by the rate of duty for watches. What if, though, the watch we have sent for repair could not be repaired, so the Japanese manufacturer sends a brand new one to replace it? In order to get duty relief, the importer must use the Standard Exchange System, or SES for short. Articles 154 and 155 of the Code provide most of the details. The replacement must have the same tariff code as the exported product, be of the same commercial quality, and have the same technical characteristics. Therefore, if the watch has been used before being exported, the replacement cannot be new. This does not apply if the watch was being replaced free of charge under a guarantee or legal obligation. In this case, the replacement can be new and still incur no duty. What about import VAT? Can we obtain relief from that? The basic legislative provision is Regulation 126 of SI 1995-2518. Taking the same scenarios as in the last slide, we'll look at whether you can obtain relief for import VAT when the goods are re-imported. The first scenario was where the Japanese manufacturer repaired the watch free of charge because of a guarantee or legal obligation. Import VAT is not due. The second scenario was where the watch was repaired in return for payment. Import VAT is due according to Regulation 126 on the amount as though the processing had taken place in the UK. This means that import VAT is due on the cost of the repair, freight and duty, but not the insurance, because insurance in the UK is exempt for VAT purposes. For goods that are replaced, import VAT is due on the full customs value, i.e. the cost of the goods, insurance and freight, whether or not the goods were supplied free of charge. To finish off this lecture, we'll do some more examples. You have to decide whether the operation will grant the importer total relief from customs duty and or VAT. Type either the word yes or no in the column for each example. When you have finished, press the Enter key. Free of charge repairs where the goods are under a guarantee give both duty and VAT relief. So that is a yes and a yes. Where a product is replaced free of charge because of a guarantee or legal obligation, no duty is due, but import VAT is due on the full customs value of the goods. This one was yes and no. For goods that are repaired in return for payment, duty is payable on the repair costs plus freight and insurance. VAT is due, but the insurance element can be excluded. So this one is no and no.